Mike Hogan's going to join us here in a few moments. The voice of the Argos on TSN 1050 actually joins us here right now. Mike, welcome back to the program. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks. Give me a Argos last week. You know, those two quick games. It's a big turnaround. Three games in what 11 days here. It's tell me about this Argos team's mentality heading into this one this weekend.
Oh, they're used to it by now. You know, it's well documented how screwy the Argonauts' schedule has been over the last 2 years. They're right now in the early stages of a 48-day break between home games. Figure that one out. But that's what they're used to. They did it last year. They had the four-game road trip last year that culminated here in Edmonton. And remarkably, the team was able to go 4-0. That had never been done in the CFL, in the history of the CFL before. And, well, they're struck with it again. And from an Argonaut perspective, they're trying to get things off on the right foot here in Edmonton like they closed the road trip off a year ago.
How unsettling is it for the team and coaching staff to not be playing home games and traveling, I assume, from city to city and practicing different venues?
It's frustrating. I mean, the practice facility is a monster unto itself. They're in the process of finally building a permanent home for the Argos. Well, permanent for now, anyways. Who knows how long that will last. Permanent by Argo standards, I guess. So they're hopeful when they get home that it's all ready to go. But it's frustrating. I mean, the coaches in an ideal situation would have a facility like they have here in Edmonton. I mean, Commonwealth is just it's just a spectacular building, and the facilities are of NFL caliber. And you know, I think every team that comes through this building, if they're not lucky enough to have a facility like, say, Winnipeg, they'll come through this facility and go, "Wow, I wish we had one of those." And
yeah.
Toronto's no exception. They would love to get a building like this, certainly smaller than what Commonwealth is, but just the facilities and the playing surface and the proximity to the field, I think they'd love for that. Love it. An opportunity to have one of those.
It's interesting. Jim Barker was on our airwaves yesterday kind of talking about that whole situation and not using it as an excuse, clearly. But it's something they have to deal with out there and try to find a way to get players to sort of feel at home without having a home, right?
You deal with it, and it's difficult for the guys who haven't been through it before.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think for Milanovic as a head coach, when he came here for the first time in 2012, kind of looked at it and said, well, this is a little different than Montreal, and learned how to cope with it, for lack of a better term. And, you know, the coaching staff knows what it's getting into. They know the facilities aren't great, although the new facilities, I was told today that some of the Argo staff are checking out what's up so far and say that the coaching facilities are fantastic and the offices are good. So, you know, it sounds like everything's going in the right direction. But, you know, I guess it's been odd to sort of watch this from the arm's length and see how they deal with it, because it's almost like it's expected. A normal week is so appreciated that, you know, they're not used to it. So, you know, playing three games in 11 days, which is kind of stupid, and having 3 days off at one point between them, and having a Sunday night game, a Tuesday night game. I mean, it's bizarre, but it is what it is. You look at the schedule, and you just kind of get through it.
Let's talk about this game that's going on Saturday. What are your expectations of Chad Owens being back in the lineup?
Well, you know, I spent some time with him today, and he's all ready to go. His foot isn't 100%, but, you know, name a football player who's 100% at this stage of the season. But he's ready to go. He's been sort of chomping at the bit to get back into this. He was hurt in Game 3. The game he was hurt, he ended up with 11 catches for 153 yards, I think was the final number. Like, just a ridiculously good game, considering he had missed the next five games with the foot injury. He's ready to go. He is as intense a football player as you can imagine. You don't necessarily think of receivers as being that intense. Well, he is. And he brings that to the huddle. He brings it to the field. And the fact that he's one of the premier receivers in the league certainly helps, that you've got the talent to back up the sort of intangibles that he brings.
Mike, you know, Ricky Ray's been around this league for a long time, and everybody here knows him well in Edmonton. But just what he's done there this year, especially with all those injuries, you know, throwing a 10 different guys in a game, or, you know, throwing to guys who've never caught a CFL pass. Is it ever, you take a step back and just kind of look at it and go, like, wow, how does this guy keep making things happen when everything around him is kind of falling apart?
Well, you guys know him. That's him.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't get flustered. It's unique to see in a pro athlete because it's such, you know, especially in a not even a contact sport, but a collision sport where, you know, some guy can come in and blindside Ricky and hit him in the back at full speed and the ball could come out and flying and they could pick it up and go for six. And Ricky goes, okay, what's the next call? You know, he's just yeah. that guy. It's bizarre. You can't tell in a game whether or not he's just throwing a touchdown or throwing an interception. And I think that calming influence through not only the off-field struggles that they're going through, but the on-field stuff as well, where, you know, he's down seven receivers at one point this year. Just that's unfathomable.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's been able to take guys who might not know what they're doing and try to figure out if they know what they're doing on the fly and still in that three-second period try to put the ball in a position where the rookie or the veteran who's just back like a Mo Man can make the catch. And I don't think I'd want another quarterback in this situation more than I'd want Ricky. Not necessarily for talent, because we know the talent's there, but just for that very steady, calming influence. He's unlike most quarterbacks in this sport, let alone in this league.
How much has the Edmonton Eskimos defense, so aggressive, been so good this year, alter the game plan for the Argonauts?
As far as Edmonton's defense, sorry.
The Eskimos defense attacking, you know, Ricky Ray and that offensive line, what do they have to do to change their game plan to kind of defend against that?
I don't think they'll change the game plan per se. I think what they're going to do is just know what Chris Jones is all about. And, you know, they know the chess match. Milanovic and Jones are best friends. And even when they were on staff for the first time here in Toronto with Milanovic as the head coach and Jones as the defensive coordinator, when they played the inter-squad game in preseason, it was one coach against the other one as head coaches. And it was intense because neither guy wanted to lose to his buddy. It's a friendly rivalry, but it's going to be intense. But Milanovic knows what Jones is all about. Jones knows what Milanovic is all about. Ray has had the advantage, as far as tomorrow goes, of being able to practice against Jones' defenses for a couple of years. So it's up to Jones to surprise a bunch of guys that know what he's all about, and that's easier said than done. So I think that they'll look at basically the history of Jones and whatever kind of tendencies the Eskimo defense has shown so far this year. They'll respect the tendencies, but I don't think they're going to live and die by them, because Lord knows what Chris Jones is going to draw up over the course of the next, well, over the last few days and even over the next couple of hours. He's a bit of a mad scientist, and I'm sure we'll see everything that he's capable of bringing tomorrow against the Argos, because, you know, I saw him briefly this afternoon over at the stadium, and, you know, he wouldn't say as much, but, boy, you know he really wants to win this game.
Mike Hogan joins us here from TSN in Toronto, calling the game here tomorrow. What about that Argo defense? How do they match up in your mind against the Eskimos?
I think that what you're going to see out of the Argos, you're going to see a lot of pressure. I mean, it's not quite as relentless as what Chris Jones brings to the Edmonton defense, but what we've seen out of Tim Burke is a lot more pressure being applied in the last few games, and it's worked. He'll send pressure from anywhere. I haven't seen a cornerback blitz per se yet, but I'm sure that's just around the corner, something that Chris Jones ran three or four times over his tenure in Toronto. But you're going to see defensive backs and linebackers, they're going to be firing all from all over the field. And, you know, it's going to be a headache for the pass protection schemes. It's going to be a headache for Mike Riley, because he's not going to know where people are coming from. But that's sort of the game within the game, the chess match that is football, you know, trying to figure out where the pressure is coming from and hoping that you've called the right play to sort of guess where that pressure is coming from. The Argo defense has been much better since it's sent more pressure, and the back end, the defensive secondary has been really good at tackling in open field in the last handful of games. So it's a completely different looking defense than what opponents saw the first 3 weeks of the season. This defense has improved a lot in the first eight games.
What matchup between two individuals would be the most exciting to watch Saturday at 2:00 at Commonwealth?
Oh, boy, that's a good one.
Very specific. I'm expecting a good one, Mike.
Yeah, well, maybe you got the wrong guy. I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm just kind of interested where the pressure is coming from. And maybe if you want to see a matchup from an Edmonton perspective, take a look at the left tackle from the Argos on the offensive line, Jarrell King. He played a lot there last year, but has been moved into guard for the most part, and then hasn't played the last couple of games.
Okay.
The usual starting left tackle is a guy, and I'm not making this up, his given name is Sir Vincent Rogers. And Sir Vincent is out. He injured himself in the last game. He's out for one. I believe they put him on the six-game list. But Jarrell King is going to move back outside. So if there's any rust there, and if Jones wants to bring the pressure, that might be a spot to watch. See how the left tackle is holding up and protecting Ricky Ray's blind side.
Great stuff. Mike Hogan from TSN 1050 in Toronto. Mike, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy it tomorrow.
Loved it, guys. Thanks so much. See you tomorrow.